welcome to Welcome to Yorkshire's Talkshire podcast, sponsored by Intelligent Appliances at intelligentappliances.co.uk. Chatting to celebrated celebrities and fantastic folk about Yorkshire, growing up in the county, filming here, touring with top shows, living the Yorkshire life, places to visit and so much more. I'm Caroline Nicol from the Welcome to Yorkshire team, and I caught up with Yorkshire chef and TV personality James Martin ahead of his UK James Martin Live tour. We chatted growing up in Yorkshire, studying in Scarborough, showcasing Yorkshire's food and drink offering across the globe, Strictly Come Dancing, his passion for cars, time at Castle Howard, fish and chips on the coast, driving across the North York Moors, fellow Yorkshire chefs and the Yorkshire shepherdess Amanda Owen. As Welcome to Yorkshire celebrates food and drink in its year-long Yorkshire menu campaign, I asked James about his culinary journey and found out how it all started at a young age in Malton, often referred to as the food capital of Yorkshire.
Childhood was great. I was brought up on a farm. We were sort of pig farmers. My father used to look after Castle Howard, as in the catering side there. That's where I started working in the kitchens quite as a young age. I started on the pot wash, like most chefs do, washing pots when I think I was about 8 or 9, and then had a fascination with what was going on in the kitchen. Got the opportunity to go into the kitchen when I was a young kid. Back then, I suppose, there wasn't many places in Yorkshire where you could work. There was only probably one at the time. One was further up the A1, which was the Cleveland Tontine, which was Eugene McCoy's, the McCoy brothers. And the other one was really it was in Gothland. It was the Mallee and Spout in Gothland, run by a guy called Peter Heslop, that went on to be my lecturer at Catering College. I suppose at school, I didn't really enjoy school, to be honest with you. I didn't like it. I wasn't very good at it. Failed all my exams at school, including cooking. I think I got a C in art. That was all I got, all I came out with. But I came out with a passion for food, really. And I was quite fortunate. I met an amazing guy called Ken Allenson, who lives in Pickering. And he was my lecturer at Catering College. And he was the one that, I suppose, there's several moments in your life that push you in the right direction. Not necessarily push you in the direction, but they point you in the right direction. And he was the guy that was a lecturer at Catering College that certainly pointed me the way that I went, and for that I thank him every single day when I wake up and go to work. It's just that's where it was until I was sort of 16, really. But we were never going to be farmers. We were sort of pig farmers, not very good at it, but we were certainly pig farmers. But as you were surrounded by food, you know, my grandmother lived in York. My auntie lived by Roundtree's Macintosh. She could smell the chocolate and stuff like that. So you were surrounded by food all my life. And my mum's a great cook, so you're surrounded by that, and you're surrounded by eating well. We never really, we kind of went for a takeout, for a treat, if that makes sense. Whereas, you know, we ate at the table every Sunday. Everybody got around the table, granny, grandma, all that kind of stuff, all around the table. So it was a great upbringing on the farm. I enjoyed it, and very much an outdoorsy sort of life.
And you seem to be in some really picturesque places in your childhood, because of course Castle Howard Estate is stunning, and it's a location for many international hit TV shows, including Brideshead Revisited and more recently Bridgerton. And then you mentioned Gosland, which was home to Heartbeat. I mean, all beautiful surroundings. You know, what were the best bits?
I mean, the best bits, you don't really understand the best bits until you leave, until you get away from that. And so that's often a lesson in life, isn't it, really? You don't really understand how good it is until you've sort of left it. And I think that was the case for me. I was certainly, when I went down to London when I was 6, 17, straight down to London, I never saw daylight for, God, four years, something like that. I just worked 7 days a week, 19 hours a day, just relentless. So I think when I was in London, it makes you appreciate what home was like. Not in a way that I wanted to go home, because that's where the work was. That's where you had to go to work. And that's back then, that's where you had to go to work as a chef. Now you can go wherever you want in the world, and there's some amazing place in Yorkshire. You don't have to go down to London anymore. But back then, you had to.
And of course, and you mentioned Catering College. That was in Scarborough, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's. I think it's now gone, Yorkshire Coast College. But I don't know, as parts of it have gone. I know that for a fact. But shows you how old I am. But yeah, that was great. And I used to have a, you know, but then, you know, you had nothing. So you were living in not a lot of money. And on the weekend, you would work in a restaurant to get a bit of pocket money to survive on. It's just, you know, there was never any inheritance lined up, and still isn't. But there's, you know, so I knew quite early on in life, probably when I was, sounds daft, when I was 12, 13, I had my own little business I was doing outside catering at 12 years old. And I knew very, very early on in life, to achieve something, you've got to, the only chance is you've got to make it. Nobody's going to give you it. You've got to do it. And so that's the same ethos I have today, really.
And what made you decide on a career as a chef?
Honestly, I was at everything else, to be honest with you. I wasn't really good at anything else. And I just, I'm not being big-headed, but I knew I could do it from quite a young age. And I didn't find it easy, but I found it easier than anything else I was doing. Academically, I wasn't very good because I'm severely dyslexic, so I've never read a book in my life. I only find that out till I read the autocue further on in my career. You know, looking back, I just felt I could do it easily, and I couldn't understand why people at 14, 15 were struggling. I found it easy. And then you suddenly realize that it's a lot more complicated than what you were doing at 14, 15 when you go down to London. It's a whole new wide awakening thing, but it's the enjoyment side of it. The hours don't affect me. I just enjoy it. I enjoy the job. And most people look at the hours, and the first thing they see now is they ask for is what hours I'm doing. That never even entered my mind. It never does now. I just enjoy it.
And you mentioned autocue, and back in 1996, you found yourself cooking on TV and have been a regular ever since, from Ready Steady Cook to Saturday Kitchen. What do you love about sharing your culinary experiences with so many viewers?
The weird thing is it didn't really hit me until I left Saturday Kitchen, which is 5 years ago now. I didn't realise how big a deal it was. And I genuinely mean that. I didn't. And I remember saying to Chris Evans before I announced the fact that I was leaving, and he spat his drink out. He couldn't believe it. And I didn't do it for any other reason. I just wanted a different challenge and bits and pieces. But I didn't realize what your voice was in terms of what. And now you kind of do. Now you go, do you know? But even the same ethos now is, if I say to somebody, go to this restaurant, I really mean it. And all of a sudden, and you can fill that restaurant in 2 minutes in terms of a chef who comes on your show. There's a guy called Gareth Ward, and he told me the other day, and he said, coming on your show, he did Great British Menu, all that sort of stuff, but coming on your show, I fill my restaurant for 3 months. I fill it.
Wow. Big impact, isn't it?
Well, but you don't realise that until somebody like that tells you that. But then that added responsibility to go, do you know what I mean? I feel I owe it to my industry, in terms of the industry that I fell in love with, to give something back. And that's my way of doing it, if I can support them doing anything. And these guys are amazing people. You know, Lisa at Northcote yesterday, phenomenal chefs. You know, you need to give them a voice and a platform to be able to showcase what they do. And I'm, you know, they're better chefs than ever I will be, ever will be. But I love what they do. I know what I'm good at, and they're good at that. But and you're learning off each other. That's the great thing about this job. Everybody think they're all backstabbing everybody, and there's none of that. It's a massive industry, but a small industry. And if one thing, COVID's brought us together more than anything else, to be honest with you, and made us think about the person down the road.
Yes, I'm sure it has. And I think a lot of people have said that. Now, it's not only cooking, is it, that you've been on TV for? Back in 2006, you were a bit of a whiz on the dance floor. Is Strictly Come Dancing as much fun as it looks?
It's a bubble. It's a snowball. It's an avalanche. It's everything all in together. You have no control over what's happening PR-wise. Every single, you know, you've just gone from a chef wearing a bandana on an afternoon show to this. And it went stratospheric. And without Strictly, I wouldn't have got Saturday Kitchen, because it was, I remember getting to the sort of semi-finals and thinking, you know, what some of the BBC bosses were thinking, who the hell are voting for this guy? And it was weird. But then it was a journey of people who didn't really know what they were doing. And I think that was the magic of it. Nowadays, they seem to be pretty good before they even start, don't they, really? But it was that journey that I think people followed. And I enjoyed it. But you have no control over what the hell's going on. But the same ethos applies, been working in a restaurant. You just want to be good at it. You don't want to appear an idiot.
Yes, of course. And you've been on tour in the past, and now there's another tour to look forward to, James Martin Live, from March into April, 18 locations across the UK, including Yorkshire, of course, Harrogate on the 12th of March and Sheffield on the 23rd. What can audiences expect?
There's a lot going on. I'm already getting emails. I'm getting text messages. We're speaking now from the organisers and the merch guys and what we're going to be doing. It involves a flying pig. It involves a bit of music. I'm now in a band, so we've got a bit of music. It's anybody that's been to the last two will know the last two tours will know that it's much more than a cooking demonstration. There's a lot more going on. Tried to tell a story in part one, story in part two, and it's going to be good. We've got some exciting stuff lined up, and I think this one, you know, you try to be bigger than the last one that you did, and certainly it is sets bigger. The audiences are bigger, and we end at the Palladium this time as well. So we come into Yorkshire, but we start in Plymouth, right the way up to Scotland, and then right back down to the Palladium. And so really, I walked past the Palladium 4 days ago and couldn't believe that my name's going to be in lights there next month. It's bloody surreal, isn't it? But
I know, weird. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And special guests?
Well, we thought about that, and obviously COVID landed. We don't know what to do. So we thought, do you know what? Let's just keep it tight and keep doing what we're doing. Everybody's just fortunate to be out. We can see that from the ticket sales gone crazy. 85% of the sites so far have sold out. So, you know, and the ones that have got tickets, there's only a couple of hundred in each venue. So that this has been the most successful tour to date, and this is the third one. So the appetite's there. We're filming with some quite famous people at the moment to do some quite funny things throughout the show. So you'll see it. Yeah, we've got some quite famous people involved in it. Yeah.
Good. And Flying Pigs, it all sounds very Pink Floyd.
Yeah, less Pink Floyd, more of a fun fairgroundy sort of thing. I've got an idea, but it's quite fun. I ended up buying an item, some piece of equipment from Blackpool Pleasure Beach, and that's involved in the show. And I've had it sort of custom made and pimped out. So it's a pimped out flying pig that's involved in the show, which would be quite cool.
And any reference to cars? Because I know that's another passion of yours.
There's a few bits. I think the probably the first 5 seconds, I think, people will see something. But yeah, it's accumulation of a lot of things, really. It's everything that I've learned over the years, but trying to make food interactive and fun, that people learn something from it, but also it's quite fun. So the accumulation is about, I think the last tour I did 10 dishes. I think this one I've got probably 10 dishes to do from scratch. Nothing's prepared beforehand. So, but they're quite fast paced. It's quite pacey, but I think people will like it.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. And what's a typical day in the life of James Martin at the moment?
A bit busy at the moment. Looking at, everything really. It's, you know, I've just come off a phone call to Bangalore that we've got a restaurant opening up over there. So that's 12 people on a conference call from India, one from Scotland, one from London. And we're all on a conference call designing kitchens and menus and flow of people and that kind of stuff. Busy. I've just obviously bought Spuddy Light now in lockdown. So myself and Albert Bartlett have bought it together, Albert Bartlett Potatoes. So now we're working in developing the brand and pushing it forward. So it's actually this time of year, really, it's calls and restaurants, really. We're changing the menus and at Chewton Glen, we've got Manchester. It's all gone a bit nuts, to be honest with you. We do a dinner at the moment in some of the restaurants. The average ticket for the dinner sells out in about 3 seconds, wow. All of them. And the last one, we had 16,000 people on the waiting list for 120 people in the restaurant. So it's all gone a bit crazy. And it's cool. It's weird because you get Elise Elias. I'm big 5-0 this year. So what it's going to do and where I'm going to be in a year's time, I don't know. But at the moment, it's good to be back and back working. And good to be back with the team because, you know, I can't do it on my own. We've got an amazing team, all the restaurants who are fantastic. And they're glad to be back now as well. So, yeah, I feel that we're good. We're open. We're back open and we're back serving and back doing what we do and doing what we love.
Great. And what's one of your favourite dishes to prepare?
I'm into fish at the moment. So I do this risotto, which is probably, I don't like the word trademark dish, but we did it the other night, Obsession. But I love fish, and I've got a restaurant not far from the coast, so we've changed it into a fish restaurant. So I'm preparing a lot of fish at the moment, sea bass, and we've got some beautiful langoustines, scallops are coming in from Orkney. And the supply chain is just starting to open back up again and free flowing back up again. It's a bit of a nightmare when it first opened and shut with COVID land. But now everything's starting to open up again. We're now get access to all the amazing produce that we have in this country, you know.
And where is the restaurant?
We've got one at Shooting Glen. We've got one in Manchester. We've got a new place opening up in Silverstone, right on the Pitt Strait. We've got the opportunity to do about another three or four if we wanted. We've got fast food outlets. We've got 10 Spuddy Likes dotted around the country within probably another 20 to 30 looking in the expansion as well. And then we're traveling over to India this year as well. So we've got, yeah, they're dotted around all over the place. We're going to be quite busy.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to see lots more in Yorkshire.
Well, that's the thing, you know, it's just I'd rather come home and not have to work. That's the nice thing. So I think Yorkshire, you'll be quite a long time before I open a restaurant there.
Oh,
I've got a Spuddy Like in York, that'll do.
Yes, absolutely.
Outlet, and I've got a Spuddy Like in Leeds, that'll have to do.
What's your favourite Yorkshire dish?
Fish and chips, I think. Fish and chips from Whitby, that's probably my favourite. I know the guys at the Magpie, I know the guys at Trenches, and yeah, fish and chips in Whitby, when it's raining and the wind's blowing so the seagulls can't attack you, that's pretty special.
Now, welcome to Yorkshire's year-long campaign is the Yorkshire Menu, celebrating the county's fantastic food and drink, from farm shops to afternoon tea to distilleries and, of course, Michelin-starred restaurants. Why do you think Yorkshire deserves to be showcased across the globe when it comes to its culinary offerings?
Well, we've got a great selection of produce. You have got the coastline, which we mentioned. Yeah, it's the biggest county. And because of that, you've got such a variety of stuff. You see behind you, you know, the terroir, the countryside of where you are. So that produces a great selection of produce. And I think as chefs, we were always focused. And that's a lot of the chefs that are based in, you know, Andrew Pern and James McKenzie. I went to college. They went to the same college as me. All trained with the same guy, actually, that we mentioned. So they've all gone around the world. They've all gone, but they've all come back and they've really, really appreciated what's on their doorstep. And, of course, you've got the new team that are coming up. Tommy Banks and co, you know, they're all showcasing the best of the best. But as well as that, let's not forget you've got the producers, and the producers need all the support they possibly can do, particularly what's behind you as well, that land. It's only good for one thing, really, and that's sheep farming. But do you know what I mean? The sheep farmers need all the help they can, because, you know, all the imports that are coming in from New Zealand. So anything you can possibly do to support the produce from this country, and from the county, and your local produce as well, is so vital. And none more so than anything else now, as we sort of expand out of Brexit and settle down. You know, the imports are going to be quite difficult. It's going to be quite tough. The cost of everything's going up. You know, it's very difficult. We had the Yorkshire Shepherdess at the house a while back, and she was saying, you know, the price of lamb is massive and fluctuating all over the place. Price of wheat's gone up four times the feed. So it's, you know, people have to realise that food will inevitably go up because the cost of the ingredients that they feed them goes up. But these are people who are doing it from a passion. These are people who are not doing it for the latest Range Rover. These are the people that are doing it because they've done it for generations and generations. You lose that generation, you'll never get it back again.
Yeah, of course. And you've mentioned, you know, going out to Bangalore. And will you be adding a taste of Yorkshire out there?
Well, lamb, obviously lamb's fine over there. You can't cook with beef, you can't cook with pork. So, you know, lamb's fine. I don't know about shipping vegetables all the way out to Bangalore. I don't think the air miles will appreciate that sort of stuff. But again, we look at the local produce, and it's all to do with what's in your area. But, you know, I spend most of my life showcasing the county where I was brought up from. So in India, that might be pushing it a little bit too much. Having said that, we might do a few things.
Yeah, but I'm sure you'll be inspiring them all. As well as the James Martin Live Tour, what's in store for 2022? What are the things that you're most looking forward to?
Well, we've got the Silverstone thing that's happening as well. That's looking forward to. We've had a break. Obviously, COVID, that didn't happen. But going back to what we do, you know, having full restaurants, you know, we're full tonight, full tomorrow night, full Sunday. You know, we didn't have that for a year and a half. It was always that uncertainty. So, you know, some form of normality would be fantastic. And normality means that we're back doing the job that we enjoy. So yeah, if we get a bit of that, then that's good enough for me.
Fantastic. And now we are getting some normality. Where would you recommend for a perfect Yorkshire day out?
I love the Earl of Oakham. I love that road all the way from Pickering up into Whitby, and that road, and then you can turn left into Gothland if you wanted to, but past the Filingdales there. I love that road. I love that trip. And then I love the Helmsley way. So you can do it the other way, Helmsley and across, and then down past Helmsley into Thorntley Dale and all the way up through that way. But that driving road to me is spectacular. I love it. And then ended up in Whitby for fish and chips, and then doing the opposite way back, which is quite nice. You can then go down to Filey and Robin Hood's Bay and then back across, and then get stuck in the A64 like everybody else.
No, you are right, actually. It's stunning, especially when you see the Abbey appear as you drive over the moor.
Yeah.
And finally, James, please describe Yorkshire to me in 3 words.
People, place, perfect.
Oh, fantastic. Perfect. James Martin, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. This Welcome to Yorkshire Talkshire podcast was sponsored by Intelligent Appliances at intelligentappliances.co.uk. The James Martin Live UK Theatre Tour is from the 3rd of March into April, heading to Yorkshire locations on the 12th of March at Harrogate Convention Centre and Sheffield City Hall on the 23rd of March. For more James Martin information, go to jamesmartinchef.co.uk. And for Yorkshire inspiration from Welcome to Yorkshire and news of more Talkshire podcasts, visit yorkshire.com. Follow Welcome to Yorkshire on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Welcome to Yorkshire. Welcome to Yorkshire's celebration of the county's fabulous food and drink is at yorkshiremenu.com. Share on social media using hashtag YorkshireMenu.